I appreciate another opportunity to speak to you from the Word of God. I want you to turn to Psalm 119, because that's what we're going to be talking about this afternoon, the Word of God. Psalm 119, we're going to look at a few of the verses in the 119th Psalm. This is a psalm that praises the Word of God in a beautiful fashion. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture or books of the Psalms. It's an acrostic poem with 8 verses given to each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So in other words, the first 8 verses begin with the letter Aleph, and the second 8, Beth, and so on, all the way through the Hebrew alphabet. Nearly every verse in the 119th Psalm contains a reference to the law of the Lord under some such word as way, law, testimonies, and so forth. There are several ways to discuss the Bible, the revealed Word of God, one of which is to notice some of the statements in Psalm 119. Of course, we understand from the Word of God that the Bible is the truth. And I want you to turn to verse 89 of the 119th Psalm. I kind of stumbled over this as I was studying this lesson, and I wanted to start off with that thought, because there are a lot of people today, you know, that say the Word of God is, it needs to be updated for the modern age and all of this. And verse 89 says, "Forever, O Jehovah, thy word is settled in heaven." And I thought to myself, you know, that's so true, and people don't want to accept that today. And there are other scriptures that just show this, that, you know, when God has spoken, that's the way it is. And his word is settled in heaven. And man can't come along and change it and say, well, you know, it needs to be updated. That was almost 2,000 years ago. And so, we're not going to do things the way the Bible teaches, because this is today and this is the modern era and we need to change things. And that's just not true. That word that we have, the Old and New Testament, have been given to us from the God of heaven. It's his word, and it's forever settled in heaven. He's the one that has established his truth. Let's go and look at verses 142 through 144 at this time, and start looking at some of the precepts we find in the 119th Psalm. He says there, beginning of verse 142, "The righteousness, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delight. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding, and I shall live." There's an objective truth. Truth does not change from generation to generation, as people would have us to believe. Truth is absolute, and it can be known. The modern thought is, well, you know, there is no objective truth. Right and wrong are relative to the situation, and individuals, and to personal convictions. But that's not what the Word of God teaches. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." This word that has been forever settled in heaven is an absolute truth. It doesn't change with time or at the whims of men. The law is everlasting righteousness, a righteousness that does not change from generation to generation, according to moral values of different cultures and societies. We see in the 119th Psalm the need for a revelation. And we turn to verses 19 and 20, where there it says, "I am a sojourner in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thine ordinances at all times." You see, we have a need, a longing, a desire, There is a fulfillment that we need to recognize from the Creator, and that is to be directed and fulfilled by and in and through His truth that He's given to us. We have this need. That's the way God's created us. We need divine guidance from our Creator. Without divine guidance, we could not know whether there's one God or many gods. We would not know whether God is good or whether God is evil. We would not know what we must do in order to please our Creator. We wouldn't know what is right or what is wrong without the Bible. Man would be at sea without a compass. He would be in a desert without a guide. He would be in an enemy's camp without a friend. David recognized his total dependence upon God's revelation for guidance in his life. And so that's what we're looking at. And all through the Psalms, you see David constantly bringing this truth up that he's nothing without God, and he needs God for his guidance through this life. The path of righteousness is found within the Word of God. In Psalm 105, it says there, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." The Bible serves to reveal the path of righteousness to men in such a manner that men can distinguish light from darkness. It directs us that we might not sin. Let's go back and look at verses 9 through 11. "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Also look at Psalm 104 and 105, or the verses, I'm sorry, in Psalm 119, verses 104 and 105, where there it says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." And then we've read 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." In other words, we're told by these passages that God's truth tells us about sin, identifies what's wrong in the sight of God. So we can stand against that which is wrong within our lives. So we can return away from doing evil so that we can do what God wants us to do. That includes hating every false way. When we think, say, or do something that's not pleasing in the sight of God, the truth is what alerts us to that and tells us what you're doing is wrong. Because if we follow our own inclinations and we're involved in temptations, when the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, or the pride of life comes along, it's appealing to us. We want to do that. But it's God's truth that warns us and tells us that's wrong. Don't do that. Is what helps us to learn to hate every false way within ourselves and to stand against evil from within our own selves and from without. We stand against error. We hate every false way, and that can only come by understanding God in His Word through His precepts of what's right and what's wrong. If I follow what I think is right or wrong, I'll never be able to please the Creator. I have to look to His Word, and His Word tells me what's right and what's wrong. It may seem that it's fine and good with me, but God says, no, that's wrong. Don't do that. Most of us understand that when we get into a situation where we've done something wrong and we're going to have to face the music, and it's real tempting for us to tell a lie to get out from under the pressure of what we did that was wrong. At that point in time, the telling a lie seems the right thing to do as far as saving our own skin. Why do you think people lie? To get what they want or to save their own skin. That's what lying's all about, basically. We deceive people because we're hiding things, we're trying to protect ourselves. And it might seem right to us to tell that lie, but it's wrong because the Creator tells us it's wrong. He says all lying is wrong, and liars are going to end up in that place called hell. So the Bible directs and guides us to function the way the Creator would have us to function. When we're young people, it's for the simple. In verse 130, it says there, "The opening of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." So we understand how important light is. All of us have been in situations where it was total darkness and we couldn't see anything, and we had to get light, a flashlight or a match or something to light the darkness where we could see what was going on, where we were walking, what we were doing. And so God uses these terms that you and I can understand in this area. That without the Word of God, we are helpless. We don't know right from wrong. We don't know up from down. Oh, I know. God has put some intrinsic thoughts in our makeup. We do have a conscience, and there are people that don't know anything about the Bible, that have a basic knowledge of right and wrong in some areas. That is true. That's come from the Creator. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the truth revealed from the Creator about all the things in the moral, ethical, religious arena that God wants and God authorizes, and we can only find these specifics within His inspired Word, the written Word that He's given to us. Many today, though, see that the Bible truth is so ambiguous that one cannot discern right from wrong, but that's not so. Knowledge of God's Word lets us know what is sin in order that we may avoid it. There is no fence or guard which can so effectively keep out every enemy to the soul as prayerful reading of the Scriptures and application of God's Word to our lives. And that's why we put so much emphasis on reading and studying, discussing, listening to it on our tapes or our DVDs of the New Testament that a lot of us have and use as we ride around town and go different places, because we're letting the Word get into our brains. It goes into our conscious and into our subconscious, and it helps us because that's where the power is from our Creator. Also, the Word of God gives wisdom. Let's read verses 98 through 103 of our text this evening, Psalm 119. Beginning at 98, it says, "Thy commandments make me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have kept thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might observe thy word. I have not turned aside from thine ordinances, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." The Word of God, dear listener, gives us wisdom in the decisions which we have to make in life. A child of God who has decided to direct his life by the revelation of God manifests greater wisdom than all of the wise men who direct their lives on the basis of human reasoning without divine revelation. Teaching to respect authority, good morals, not to cheat, lie, steal, etc., not to be engaged in homosexuality or drunkenness or gambling or premarital, extramarital sex, etc. Great wisdom is shown when we follow God's will and we abstain from doing these things that He doesn't want us to do. And we can only be successful in that by knowing the Word, applying the Word, the truth to our lives. Another thing the Word of God does is that it gives life. Let's look at verses 50. My first verse 50, and we'll jump back to some other ones. First verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Go back to verse 25. Verse 25, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." Verse 37, Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken me in thy ways. Verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Verse 88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I observe the testimony of thy mouth. And verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Now the word quicken, actually we've got an application for computers called quicken that's used. But the word means to revive, to animate, to invigorate, or to bring alive. In the description of Jesus as the judge of the quick and the dead, Acts 10:42, the quick are represented in the more modern translations use the word the living. So to quicken is to make alive, to invigorate, to bring to life. So we read in these texts that thy word, in this last verse, thy word hath quickened me. It means that the word of God had given David life as he's saying those things. We can turn to passages like 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verses 22 through 25. Beginning at verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word of good tidings which was preached unto you. Thus we find in James 1:18 that God has begat us with His truth. James 1:18 says, of His own will He begat or brought us forth by or through the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits to His creatures. And thus Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:15, I begat you through the gospel. Yes, the word of God is the seed of the kingdom, Luke 8:11. That is why we must hear it, believe it, and obey it. Hence, people are born again through the Word of God. The Word of God produces spiritual life. Why? That's where the power is. The power of God is found in the Word as we respond to it. Another thing we notice today is that the Word of God encourages the despondent. And of course, especially in the Psalms, you find this so much. But even in Psalm 118, let's look at verse 28. 28, my soul melteth for heaviness, or droppeth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Look at verses 49 and 50. Remember the word unto thy servant, because thou hast made me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me, as we've read that verse earlier. And then verses 54 through 56. Thy statutes have been my songs. In the house of my pilgrimage I have remembered thy name, O Jehovah, in the night, and have observed thy law. This I have had because I have kept thy precepts. Again, going to verse 92, unless thy law hath been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. There's so many passages like this that relay these thoughts unto us. Look at verse 147. I anticipated the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy words. None of us escapes the problems of life. We all understand that. Problems destroy some people. There are people around us every day, even in this community, taking their own lives, committing suicide. There are people around us that are trying to drown their problems and their woes and their sorrows in drinking and drugs. Now, our mental institutions are filled with people that lost control in various ways in life and cannot even take care of themselves. The Word of God helps us through the problems of life by giving us much encouragement and reasons for living. The same Word that preserves the heavens and the earth also preserves the people of God in the time of trial. You know, health can fail in the twinkling of an eye. Jobs can be lost overnight. But God is always there. He's always there, and He always loves us. He always desires our salvation. He always hears the prayers of His faithful saints. He's always willing to forgive us. He always sustains those who trust and obey Him. You talk about peace. That's peace. To know and believe those things, no matter what happens in our lives. Look at verse 165, where it says, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and they have no occasion of stumbling." Yes, the inner peace that one feels when he has done that which God has commanded him sustains him through the darkness of the night. Even though he is not on the mountaintop, but in the lowest depths of the valley, he finds peace with God and with himself. One song expressed this idea saying, "There will be peace in the valley for me." Indeed, this is true. God's Word gives us peace during the times when we walk in that valley. In that valley of the shadow of death, which we have to go through and endure in our lives here upon this earth, and understanding how this Word of God gives us direction in life, gives us the hope of eternal life, gives us the strength to endure, we should treasure the Word more than silver and gold. So passages like verses 67 through 72 come to mind. And let's read those at this time. Beginning of verse 67. "Behold, I was afflicted. I went astray. But now I observe thy word, that thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me. With my whole heart will I keep thy precepts. Their heart is as fat as grease. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Do we really believe that? You know, people put so much emphasis on worldly things today, money. Everything's about money and wealth and gaining everything you can possibly gain. You see these bumper stickers on cars, you know. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. It's that kind of a concept, a worldly. I saw one the other day I'd never seen before, an old beat-up pickup truck, and it said, "Whoever dies with the most junk wins." So, first time I'd ever seen that. So I guess to each his own. Whoever dies with whatever they want materialistically in this life and get the most of whatever they want or like wins. And that's not what it's all about. That's the devil's brew. The truth tells us that whoever has the good works wins. Because the only thing that follows us out of this life are our works. And the bad works send us to hell. But the good works follow after us. And they're a testimony for our seeking to serve the Lord on His terms and be those kind of people that He would have us to be. Each of us should resolve anew to obey God's Word in all things, in all areas, in which we can understand why He requires us to do something and in which also we cannot. Because there are some things we don't fully understand in His Word. I don't have all the answers, understand all the precepts in the Word of God. But I believe them and I have faith that they're true because I believe the Word of God is true. It's God speaking to us as it teaches us. And I can put all my faith and trust in it, even though I may not fully comprehend. And so we close with verse 112, where the inspired writer says, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes forever, even unto the end. Do we love our Creator with all of our hearts, minds, souls, and strength? Do we actually perform this verse to incline our hearts to perform all His statutes forever, even unto the end? We know that the Word of God tells us that we have to remain faithful unto death or we cannot receive the crown of life. We know we have to give diligence, to give more diligence, to make our calling and election sure. This is not a free-willing slide down the slope of life into eternity, into heaven. It's an uphill grind. It's working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And we have various trials and temptations that come our way. And the devil, he's there from time to time to try to get us to fall, to get into a snare, to pull us away from the truth so that we will no longer be true worshipers. And so these words that God gives us, His truth, the Word of God, keeps us on that right course to heaven, keeps the rudder going down that straight and narrow way that leads to heaven. So we won't turn to the right hand or to the left. So we won't steer aside and go on to the broad way, which leads to destruction, to that place called hell. And there are going to be faithful in heaven. There'll be many faithful in heaven. And we should love our God so much that we want to be among the faithful more than anything else in this life. Now, we are the ones that will make that happen. We are the ones that have to work out our own salvation. We have to couple works of God with the faith that we have. And we get that strength through the Word of God as we let it have free course through us, as it lives and abides in us, and we apply it as best we can to our daily lives, thinking the way God wants us to think, talking the way God wants us to talk, and acting the way God wants us to act. That's what He tells us we have to do. And we have to do that, be faithful unto death, fight that good fight, finish the course, and then that crown of righteousness will be added to us. There may be someone here this afternoon that would want to respond to the gospel, to become a Christian, to put the Creator first in your life. And if you haven't done that, we can help you do that this very day. If you've done that in the past, but you allowed something to take the place of God first place in your life, and you want the brethren to pray with you and encourage you to put God first, anything that we can do to help you to serve Him above all else, we would encourage you to do that as we stand and sing the song selected.
Someday you'll stand.